Welcome to the King's Chapel Alaska podcast. From wherever you are listening, we are so excited that you tuned in today. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word.
You can be seated. Thank you guys so much. It's such an honor just to be here, to be able to share. So thankful that my wife is able to be here with me as well and answer to prayer and celebrating our 23rd year anniversary. So if you see us making out, just leave us alone. We're celebrating. And I want to say thank you so much to Pastor Daniel, Pastor Karen. Not only just the friendship, there's something about Kings where it's just family. And anywhere you go, it's just there. But really thankful just for the deposit that they've made in the nation of Chile. They're passionate for that place, and the deposit that they made even for just my kids, my family, they've ministered in a way where they've really, really needed it, and so thankful. Pastor Josh, Pastor Shannon, so thankful. You know, the prophetic conference that we had, and Pastor Josh was there, and it had been, several years since you had been there. You know, there's words that he had given years before at some other prophetic conference. I can't even remember how many years ago that impacted. I'm telling you this, that it impacts nations, because there's a guy from that church, or from our church rather, that received a prophetic word from Pastor Josh that is now a missionary in the Middle East. And he met with my parents not too long ago, and he took out this tattered piece of paper, and he goes, "This is the word that Pastor Josh gave me back who knows how long. It's in pieces." He has it like laminated, and he goes, "And I just take it out, and I've guided, my whole entire life has been guided by this one word." And he's in the Middle East and just doing a marvelous job. So you don't realize that you're part of something that makes a global impact. And I'm so thankful just to be here, so very honored. And thankful for your hospitality. I'm also thankful today for tithes, because they cover up a multitude of sins. I have feel like I've eaten a whale. And but unlike Master Prophet David Fang, I don't think I need to go to the gym. I'm just gonna pray, and the weight's gonna go off. It's a matter of faith. He might have to go to the gym, but you know, each one according to your faith. So be it. So I don't know where he's at, but anyways, I'm just saying. Okay, I don't know where to go from there. Let's just pray before I get in trouble. So Father, I just thank you. I love you for your presence, Lord. You are absolutely amazing, amazing, amazing. And I just know that you're already working in our hearts and in our lives. And you begin to speak even now. I worship you in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, just go with me to 1 Kings chapter 9. And I just want to give a little bit of a background to the text that we're about to read. And I want to talk today about, what do you do whenever you've failed to fulfill a prophetic word that you've received? What happens if you miss the opportunity? Like, God speaks to you and gives you a specific word, and you miss it. How does that work in the kingdom? What happens to that prophetic word or that intent that God has even from the very beginning? Or what about this? What if you receive a word and you've been battling, and it just doesn't seem to actually come to fruition? It just reminds me of the conquest that of the people of Israel on the Promised Land. God had given them the book of Joshua. He tells Joshua, "Everywhere you put your foot, I've already given you that land." It's literally what he's saying. It's just a matter of going in and taking it. But you find that as you read the history, that not every tribe actually took the land that corresponded to them. There were giants, yes. I mean, there was a lot of obstacles in the way. It was a way for them to actually learn to trust God and depend on his word. But what some of them did is, instead of doing that, they actually negotiated with their circumstance and what was around them. Yeah, for example, the tribe of Zebulun, you know, his name, or the name that means exalted, and they have a prophetic word, and instead of going in and conquering, they actually negotiate with the people where they're at, the Canaanites and the different people that were there, and they actually begin to live among them. It's like they come to an agreement, like, okay, we won't kick you out, and we're just going to let you live here, and let's just get along. And they're not fulfilling God's word and promise for them. Naphtali is another one. You don't really hear these tribe names. Normally you hear like Judah, and you hear some of the other ones, but Naphtali means wrestling, or his name is like my wrestling. And you think, yeah, that's a good name to go in and actually conquer the land. And instead of doing that, they do the same thing. They just go in and they just kind of come into agreement with the people and what was surrounding them, the environment, the culture. And what begins to happen is that their language begins to change, the way they speak, even their accent, because again, begin to intermarry. The religion begins to change as well. The beliefs, they begin to incorporate things into their worship of God. And they take a little bit of Baal, they take a little bit of Moloch, they take a little bit, just a little of everything, and just kind of mix it all in. And hey, it's going to be okay. And what begins to happen is that this region begins to get this bad reputation, and even amongst the other tribes, there's a little racism that begins to take place because they're seen as not being pure because they're intermarrying and they're not real, real pure Jews. They're not really worshiping God like they really, really need to worship. And it begins to get this kind of bad reputation over time. And now we come to 1 Kings chapter 9 and in verse 10. Now Solomon is building the temple. Let's just read it. It goes, at the end of 20 years, in which Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Hiram, king of Tyre, had supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress timber and gold, as much as he desired. King Solomon gave to Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. I just want to make a pause. I woke up with this in my heart this morning, and I think it's already been said. But you know that property that you guys have and what's being built? I'm going to say this, actually. Let me rephrase that. What we have right there on that land. There will be, just as this temple here was Solomon, and he had the supplies and what he needed from a king that was foreign and gave him everything he needed. Lumber, gold, he held nothing back. God is going to raise people up that don't even know the Lord, don't even believe in him, and he's going to just release resources that are needed to complete that. That's God's house. He's going to make sure it gets accomplished. And just another parenthesis here, if you aren't participating in Project Zechariah, if you aren't participating in the vision of seeing that happen, I'm just going to be really nice in saying this, but you're foolish. Because how do you think God's going to provide for that? It's going to be through you. It's going to be through us. In fact, I've already felt like the Lord spoke to me on a way to even participate. My wife and I are going to participate in that as well. But you know what's going to happen is that he's going to bless you, and the surplus and increase is going to go to that. Part of your business plan should be tying the vision of your business plan to the house and the completion of the house. You want to see increase in your own household, tie it into the vision of that house. As you give, you're going to see how God blesses you. The top salesmen of the United States and of the world of different companies are going to come right from this congregation. I mean, God's going to bless you in surprising ways because the way that that's going to be accomplished is through your hands. And you might think, well, I just have a couple fish and loaves of bread. But just in God's hand, that begins to multiply. And he does what only he can do. And so here we have King Solomon, and he has the provision from another king. From another nation. It's a pagan nation. And he's giving him everything that he needs. And so what Solomon does as kind of a gift back to him, he's like, I'm going to give you these 20 cities in the land of Galilee. But when Hiram, this is verse 12, came to Tyre to see the cities that Solomon had given him, they did not please him. He wasn't happy with it. Therefore, he said, what kind of cities are these that you have given me, my brother? So they are called the land of Kabul to this day. And it says here, Hiram, by the way, had sent to the king 120 talents of gold. Like, he'd given a lot of money. And he feels a little shortchanged in what Solomon is doing. So Solomon gives him these cities, and it's in this place of Galilee. Interesting, because it's actually the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. And he comes to this area, and he sees these 20 cities, and he says, it's a bunch of Kabul. You know, there's bull, and then there's Kabul. You know what I mean? There's two different things. It's in the Bible. It's there. It's two different things. The word Kabul means good for nothing. It means limitation. It means sterile. Wow. Nothing can grow there. I want to propose to you, because Ezekiel chapter 28 talks of the king of Tyre, and it's a type of Satan. I want to propose to you that Satan loves to come to your life, and especially when even you get a prophetic word. On the one hand, you have this word of conquest and victory and blessing, and on the other hand, here comes the enemy, and he just says it's a bunch of Kabul. You're good for nothing. Like you? You think God's going to use you? You think that that word's going to be fulfilled in your life? What have you to show for that? You are sterile. There's nothing good that comes from your life. In fact, Galilee begins to take on that reputation. It becomes a famous saying, can anything good come from Galilee? In John chapter 1, it comes to Nathanael, and they go, or Nathanael rather, and they say, hey, I think I found the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, can anything good come from Nazareth? Well, Nazareth is in Galilee. What he's saying is like, you really think the Messiah, out of all the places where he can come, he's going to come from that place? The place where there's been mixture, where they've watered down religion, where they settled down with the culture instead of conquering it. They negotiated with it. Do you think anything good can come from there? They had a way of even speaking. You could hear someone, you go, oh, you're from Galilee. No. I mean, if you had that on your resume, you just weren't going to get the job, because nothing good comes from Galilee. Remember Peter when he's denied Jesus and he's denying him, and they go, yeah, you're one of his disciples. No, I'm not, no. And he goes, yeah, your accent, you're from Galilee. You're one of them. You're from that region. You're from that area. And so then he cusses to kind of cover up the fact of this accent. He's trying to change his accent, and he's just like, no, I'm not from there. You got me mistaken. And what happens with the prophetic word is that God will come and he speaks. And this is the way he works, and he's just so amazing. I mean, you find this in Genesis when the world is in chaos and in darkness. Now, if CNN were present then, they would say, look how dark everything is and how gloomy everything is. And look at the chaos. And in so many years, this is what's going to happen, and they make all their projections. But God comes in and he says, let there be light. He doesn't say, man, what a mess this is. What are we going to do? He speaks opposite of what the circumstance and what the situation is. And the amazing thing is that God doesn't even have to go in and say everything about light. He doesn't have to talk about the whole, the prism of light and the invisible and the infrared and all this. He doesn't even have to detail out the laws and the principles that govern light. He just says, let there be light, and everything that needs to happen for that to be accomplished takes place. He doesn't even have to say anything else. It just happens. And all the laws and principles come into play and effect in order to sustain that, because that's what he's spoken. And he speaks opposite to whatever the circumstance is at. I'm going to give you a little insight here that I learned a while ago. This is a prophetic insight, okay? Just to help you out as far as even discernment. If you hear, for example, somebody gets a word and it talks about blessing, how God's going to bless you financially and all this kind of thing, chances are that person is probably like on the verge of bankrupt or doesn't have a penny, you know what I mean, in their pocket. I mean, has absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? Like if God says, you know, he's going to use you and you're going to be a leader and you're all this kind of thing, chances are you have the worst like case of halitosis and you just like are horrible with people at this moment. I mean, bears smell you before you wake up, you know, and they run. You know what I mean? And chances are, because I've been in some of these call out sessions, people that I know, and I'm listening to stuff, and I'm just like, really? Are you sure, Lord, that you got the right person? I mean, I would think that would maybe apply to somebody else, but not this person. I mean, come on, Lord. I've actually had conversations where I go afterwards, I'm like, you got to explain this to me, Lord, because I know what's going on. Their life is a mess, and yet you're coming out with this word here that I'm just like, it just doesn't make sense to me. There's some time ago when we were in Dallas, and we're pastoring there for a time, and I'm preaching, and I feel like I just have this word for these two young guys, and I'm just talking about like just ministry thing and all this kind of stuff, and then I go on with the service. Well, little did I know, and I found out afterwards that they were actually leaving. It was in between services, and they were leaving to go to the mall to steal. And out of all things, they were stealing bow ties and ties. It's weird, but okay, you know, whatever. And they had a good fashion sense. And I remember just kind of being like embarrassed. I'm like, God, could you not have told me something like, hey, whatever you're going to do, don't do it. God's watching you. Hey, better watch out. You know, I just felt like really like embarrassed, like, because I did this publicly, and it's like, you know, like the pastor, you know, said all this great word, and they're going out to steal, and man, he doesn't know what he's doing, kind of. You know, that's how I felt. I don't know if that's actually what was happening, but I just kind of felt like the Lord saying, you know what, I was speaking to my intent towards them. Yes. I'm speaking destiny. This is what I'm speaking over them. I know where they're at. I know the mess. I know the family. I know the stuff that's going on. I know that. But I'm giving them destiny, and I'm giving them purpose, and I speak to that. And God has that. I mean, he's taking out these tribes from the land of Egypt. And I mean, they've been slaves for over 400 years. They don't know how to war. They're just unbelief. I mean, one day they're just like experiencing the very glory of God. 3 days later, they're complaining. And they're like, aren't there enough graves in Egypt? I mean, they're just up and down the entire time. And yet God has spoken destiny and purpose over them. That was his intent. And yet a great number of them just simply fail. They don't fulfill God's calling. Some of you feel like that. Some of you know what it's like to have somebody whisper in your ear, you're a Galilean. Your life is just Galilee. Can anything good come from your life? You? Some of you hide. As Prophet Fang was talking about, just you hide who you really are because you don't want to be exposed, because you think if they really knew, they would, then I'd be exposed and they'd realize nothing good can come from me, from my life. Some of you have even areas and times of your life where you look back and you think, the stuff that you've gone through, can anything good come from that? Is there any way that God could come in and redeem that? Is there anything good that can come from that? Well, this is the amazing thing. I want you to look in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Now, we've probably read this during Christmas. Okay. What I want you to see something here. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. Well, who's in anguish? In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Some translations say Galilee of the Gentiles. Which Gentiles was a way of saying like your dog. It's meant insulting. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them his light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, and they are glad when they divide the spoil. What he's speaking of here, he's like saying, hey, that one area right there, Galilee, where nothing good can come from that place, that's exactly where God wants to manifest his glory and his power. I mean, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Guess where Bethlehem is in? What region? It's in Galilee. Do you know that a great number of the miracles that Jesus did happened exactly in the region of Galilee? When he walked on water, it was in Galilee. When he fed the 5,000, it was in Galilee. When that guy that had the hand that was dried out, and he's like, hey, extend your hand, that happened in Galilee. When 11 of the 12 disciples were from Galilee, guess who was the only one who wasn't? Yeah, that's right. He's saying the very place that is known and has a reputation of having nothing good that comes from that place is exactly the place where Jesus goes, and that's right here, I'm going to do something new. Right here is where my glory is going to shine. And he has a way of going into the areas and the times of our life. He has a way of going in even right now where we're at. You might feel like I have nothing to show, even for my faith. I've sown and I have no harvest. I've been trying to do the best that I can do. I'm doing the baby steps. I'm trying hard on this. And yet, where's the victory? Where's the result of what I'm doing here? And God says, that's exactly the place where I want to manifest my glory and my power. He has a way of going to exactly to those areas. And he's saying, right there, my glory is going to shine. Right there, I'm going to display who I am. And he redeems those things. I mean, this is what he does. I mean, you have, for example, I think Pastor Daniel was talking about Achan, the sin of Achan. And that valley was actually known later on, it had the name of the Valley of Achor, right? And it was kind of a teaching tool. Because it's like, hey, don't be like Achan. Remember what happened to him? Don't steal from God. You better obey God. You know, this whole valley is named after what this guy did and his family and what happened. And yet in the book of Hosea, God comes in and he says, in the Valley of Achor, in that very place that's known for defeat, for sin, for failure, he says, I'm opening up a door of hope. It's right in that. Where is it? It's right in that one place that's known. It has a reputation for being awful. It has a reputation of being bad, of evil. And he goes, it's right there that I begin to open up a door of hope. And I extend, and literally in the Hebrew, when he talks about the door of hope, it's like a rope. It's like I throw out a rope to you. You have something to hold on to in the midst of what you're going through. And he begins to redeem. He changes names. He changes the nature of the situation. And you might be going through something right now. You might have even in your past, you go, man, all the stuff I've done, there's actually nothing good that can come from that. And there's nothing for me to show for that. And God says, that's exactly where I'm going to display my power. That's exactly where I'm going to display my glory. That's exactly the place where I'm going to redeem. It's God is going to do a new beginning. I actually woke up with this morning. Do a beginning. You know what that spells? Dab. I'm doing this for you. Do a beginning. Well, let's just all do it, just spiritually. Is that all right? I mean, Pastor Daniel has us doing things and hitting things and whatever. We can do a dab, right? The prophetic word is meant to bring healing in the midst of what we're going through. When you receive your word, even when you listen to sermons, when you come to the word of God, he means to go and he finds those areas that you don't want exposed. He goes and finds those areas of even failure. Those moments that if you think about it and you cringe. And he comes and he begins to speak and he says, that's exactly where I'm displaying my power and my glory and bringing redemption. I'm doing something new. It's a new beginning. It's a new day. And what he says, even in Isaiah chapter 9, oh, you were in anguish. You were in anguish. You were in darkness. But light has come now to you today. You know what I felt even this morning is that God wants to bring redemption even in our families. He wants to redeem relationships. He wants to redeem things from the past. There's some of you here that are carrying hurts from what others have done. There's wounds. There's words that have been spoken. There's things that have been done. I mean, it is just like, it has really cut you deep. And it's preventing you from even going on. And what God wants to do even today is that he wants to speak. And he says, right in that area is where I'm going to display my power and my glory. And that one relationship and that marriage that doesn't seem like it's going to go anywhere. It just seems like it's doomed to failure. It's like right there, light is going to shine. And that one place where it doesn't look like there can be any reconciliation in families, it's like right there, my light is going to shine. There's going to be reconciliation. Where there's been just even in your own life, you're like, my life is an absolute mess. And every time I try to take a step forward, I keep going back. And like, can God even use me? Is there anything that God can do with me? Can anything good come from my life? And that's exactly what he wants to do this morning. I just felt this morning, even now, if you're here and you just say, you know, I need that redemption in my family. I'm just going to ask you to just stand right now where you're at. If you're saying, I need that redemption now in my family, I just want you to just put your hand on your heart for 1 second. Jesus. That one area that doesn't seem like there's ever been hope. You've lost hope, actually. You have put a time limit even on the Lord, and it just looks like it's like Lazarus. Lord, if you had been here, he would be up, but now it's too far gone. There's nothing that can be done. God says and he speaks to you this day that he's the God of the resurrection. Light is shining now in the name of Jesus on your relationships. In that one place where there has been brokenness, right now healing is being released in the name of Jesus. Your light has come and it starts now in the name of Jesus. It starts now in the name of Jesus. We receive it now. Come on, just begin to just speak. Your Galilee is a landing strip for what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through your life right now. Come on, we're calling back children. Come back home in Jesus' name. I speak restoration in the name of Jesus. Come on, some of the marriages right now, you need to stand. And maybe your spouse isn't here. That's okay. You stand right now in the name of Jesus. That which the enemy has meant for evil, that which even counselors have said there's absolutely no hope, there's nothing that can be done, it's done. We speak now light in the name of Jesus. Can anything good come from that? Oh, absolutely. He's not over. It's not done. Come on, some of you here, you're battling with shame and condemnation. And every time that the Lord speaks to you, you can't even receive it because you are so ingrained in your brain and your mind and through life and through words that other people have done and said and things that you've even experienced, trauma that you've even experienced. Like, can anything good come from my life? And you actually resist the very things that God is wanting to plant in your life. You resist the harvest of blessing and hope in the future. And you're thinking, can anything good come from my life? And I say, yes, in the name of Jesus. It is right there that his glory is going to be manifest. And it starts now in the name of Jesus. Come on, if that's you, do you just stand? Would you stand right now? We come against every condemnation, every word and voice of the enemy that would come and say that you are kabul, that you're good for nothing, that you're limited, that you're sterile, that nothing good will come from your life. There will be no fruit. There's no future. We come against that right now in the name of Jesus, and we silence the voice of the enemy. And I release now an expectation of good things happening, of hope, of blessing, of purpose, of his plan. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it is a new day. The old things have passed. Behold, all things are new. And it starts now in the name of Jesus. He's doing a new beginning. He's doing a new thing. Come on, just begin to just praise him.
There's even miracles that are being released because of the broken place. There's been an assignment on some of a spirit of infirmity because of that broken place. Would you just pray over that right now? There's release of miracles. Those online, come on, just receive right now.
Speak to those online, those that are here. Every spirit of infirmity. Actually, some have battled in their mind. You've actually thought you've lost your mind. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Every pain and sickness, go now. Every spirit of infirmity, we break your hold. Loose the people. Be free right now. Actually, some even battling addiction because of this. You're self-medicating. So broken and so hurt. You can't even face life. You're so broken on the inside. Right now, I speak freedom to you. Come on, if that's you, even over the internet, I know I'm speaking to someone there. You put your hand on your heart. This is for you. Something good's going to come out of all this. Christ will come forth, will shine forth in the midst of your life, through your brokenness, in your darkness. We command that now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.